Welcome to the Foundry Church. You're about to hear a message from one of the team. We really pray this message makes a difference in your life. If you want to find out more about Jesus, church, or who we are, then visit our website www.thefoundry.org.uk after you've watched the message. Here we go!
Why weren't Liverpool more successful when I was growing up? And why were Manchester United the most dominant football team?
Why is it when I do washing that everything ends up inside the duvet cover? I don't know.
Sometimes I wonder, what did come first? The chicken? Or the egg?
Are there going to be any more viruses?
So, my question would be, why is it so difficult for us to have a relationship with God?
So if there's one thing that I could ask God for right now, it would be to bring my dad back. But yeah, definitely need him back in my life again, and I wish he was here.
Are you guaranteed a place in heaven as long as you have the Holy Spirit, regardless of whatever actions you may take?
Why did COVID happen?
Why do others suffer more?
Why do we let children suffer when a lot of the time the suffering comes from the price of their parents' choices or their carers' choices?
Oh wow.
Hi everybody, my name is Stee. I'm part of the lead team here at The Foundry. And it's great just to be sharing with you today, whether you're joining us live or watching at any time throughout the week. Growing up, I was known as a chatterbox. I was absolutely that child in the car where you would turn up the music in the hope that they would get the hint that that is enough questions now. My mum actually recently sent me this picture of when I was about, I think, six. And my dad was a recovery driver, a breakdown lorry driver. And I used to go out around the West Midlands where we lived at the time. I used to go out with him. And by all accounts, I didn't stop asking question after question to the point that he used to gently tell me, "Why don't we just have some quiet time now?" What can I say? I was curious about life. And now I'm learning what it's like to be on the other side of that as a parent. Even though I asked all those questions growing up, I didn't get all the answers. And as I've got older, I've gained plenty more questions. Some of the more trivial questions of life for me would be, why does tinned tuna exist? I just can't stand the stuff. Or is a hot dog a sandwich? Or why are so many people against putting pineapple on a pizza? If that's you, why don't you drop a pineapple emoji in the chat section now? But then there's some of the more serious questions that I have about life, like, how is it fair that some people are born into stable and loving families, and yet others are born into chaos? Or why do some people get healed and yet others don't? How was the resurrection of Jesus really possible? It's amazing, isn't it, how quickly my questions can spiral from a tin of tuna to the resurrection of Jesus. I'm sure, though, that I'm not on my own with having questions about life. Some more trivial than others, like Steve's laundry conundrum that we heard in that video just before, or some of the bigger questions about life, like Jake's question about suffering or Caitlin's question about why COVID. But what do you do with those questions? Do you ask Google or Siri or Alexa? Do you ask someone that you live with, a family member or a friend even perhaps? as we think about the serious questions in life, human suffering, injustice, how our world works, the teachings of Jesus and why we believe what we do, I've been on a journey and realized that it is okay to have questions and doubts about my faith at times. I used to think that questions and doubts made me less of a Christian, or that I wasn't loved by God as much if I questioned him. But God does not work like that. His love is not conditional, and there is no scoring system or grading on what makes a good Christian. Perhaps I'm not on my own with this today, and perhaps you too have had similar thoughts. I realize now that this is okay. It is okay to be spiritually curious. Jeannie Stevens, who is the pastor of Soul City Church in Chicago, says this. She says this about her church. She says, "Our aim is to be a church for the spiritually curious, not the spiritually convinced." And I loved that thought, that we can be a community of spiritually curious people. It's not that we can't be convinced of certain truths in the Bible about who Jesus is. It's just that it's okay to be curious and have questions that arise from doubts that we have. One of our values as a church is that being real is our way. And a big part of being real is that there's no judgment for having questions or for not understanding something as you explore faith. Recently, I was reading something in the Bible that gave me a huge sigh of relief. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but it's great when that happens. I was reading the story of when one of Jesus' closest friends was sick. His name was Lazarus, and Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to Jesus to tell him that their brother was very sick. Essentially, they were saying, "Come quick. We need you to make him better, just like we've seen you do for so many other people." Now, we know from the account in John, which is a book in the New Testament of the Bible, that Lazarus was quite clearly dying, but that Jesus was clearly some distance away at the time. So naturally, you would think that he would get moving quickly. But despite hearing this, Jesus, we're told, stayed where he was for 2 more days. And eventually, he tells his disciples that together they will head on over to Lazarus. But 2 days after they first had that report of him being sick. And here's where I want us then to pick up the story. It says this in John chapter 11, verse 11. It says, "He," that's Jesus, "said these things and then announced, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up.' The disciples said, 'Master, if he's gone to sleep, he'll get a good rest and wake up feeling fine.'" Jesus was talking about death, while his disciples thought that he was talking about Lazarus just taking a nap. Then Jesus became explicit. "Lazarus died. And I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. Why? Because you're about to be given new grounds for believing. Now let's go to him." I want us to think about the disciples for a moment, because they just didn't get it. They had spent nearly 3 years with Jesus, learning his ways, listening to his stories. And by the way, they have already seen him bring back to life at least 2 other people that we know of. But they didn't get what Jesus was talking about. They didn't understand what he was saying here. They thought that Lazarus had just fallen asleep. But Jesus was saying that he had actually died. Now, as I was reading this, my sigh of relief became because I totally understand why they got their wires crossed. And the thing is, if Jesus' closest followers didn't understand him at times, well, then there's hope for us all. In case you don't know the story, then let me just fill you in. Jesus goes to where Lazarus was. But by the time that they got there, he had already died. But then Jesus brings him back to life. Now, I have questions about how that was even possible. It's another question that I would love to ask God, but it's an incredible miracle that we see take place as Jesus walked the planet. But there are so many other examples in the Bible of when the disciples get the wrong end of the stick with Jesus. And there's times when they question things that Jesus did and spoke. And the Bible is also full of examples of people like us who bring their questions to God. There is a man in the Old Testament called Job who experienced an unbelievable amount of suffering in life. And we can read about how he said to God, "Are people just mere things to you? Are friends just items of profit and loss?" He didn't hold back in questioning God and how God had allowed him to go through so much suffering. Maybe you're in that place today as you reflect on all that is going on in the world and you're saying, "How? God, why is this even happening?" And then there's a man called David who in his frustrations cried out to God. And he said, "Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way?" These are just a couple of examples of something that we find throughout the Bible. People bringing their questions, their doubts, their frustrations before God. Why? Because it's okay to do that. God isn't a distant being, totally unconcerned with our questions, doubts, fears, anxieties. He isn't going to knock us back for asking him about our biggest life questions. He is the exact opposite. He wants us to bring our questions to him. He is deeply interested in our lives, every area of them. It's like with any relationship in life. The more that we bring our questions to God, then the more we will get to know him. So what can we do with our questions? I've got a few simple things just to help us with what to do with them. And the first thing is this. Write them down. A simple thing for us to do with our questions is to get them written down. Now, for some of us, this is a good way simply to remember our questions that we have as perhaps we're reading or we're thinking about life. But one of the dangers with our doubts and our fears for life is that they play on our mind. And then sometimes, like, shame can kick in. That emotion that says, you shouldn't have that question, or that you're the only one that will be thinking that way. So my suggestion, my advice is this: write it down in a journal or on a note in your phone and free up some of that valuable headspace that's been taken up. The second thing is this: share them with God. Once you've written your questions down, share it with God. Tell him the questions that you have. Ask him to bring some direction and clarity to your mind. Think of it this way. There is no question that he has never heard or thought about. There's no question that will surprise him. He is not going to get down on you for having that doubt or that fear. And then remember this, God knows everything. Which means he already knows about the big life question that you have anyway. The Bible gives us some great advice about this. It says in 1 Peter, which is in the New Testament, it says, give all your worries and cares to God. Why? For he cares about you. Don't let your questions, whether they're big or small, trouble your mind. Take them to God because he cares about you and wants to hear them. The third thing is this, explore them in community. A great way to work through the questions that we have in life is to explore them in community. Now, the way that that looks for us at the moment as a church is through something called the Alpha Course. And if you don't know about the Alpha Course, well, their logo is a big red question mark. Because it's all about asking life's questions and exploring the answers together in community. In the group that I am part of, we've already enjoyed coming together. There's a group of about 10 of us on Zoom, you know, getting to know each other, chatting through things in life. Like, is there more to life than this? Why did Jesus die? Or what does it mean to have faith? And the group were even kind enough to let me chat through my fear of tin tuna. But seriously though, it's a great way to glean from each other's wisdom, to find that light bulb moment, to grow together in our faith. Alpha is a safe space to ask questions, to learn and to explore together. If you are interested in joining an Alpha group, then you can register your interest for the next time that we run Alpha courses. You can head to www.thefoundry.life. Now, the fourth thing is this. Seek out trusted resources. Because of the digital age that we live in now, we have never been better resourced to seek out answers to the questions that we have. The best place to start with, well, you know what? It's with a Bible. If you haven't already got one, then there's a whole page on our Next Steps section of our website about what the Bible is and how you can get one. But then, if you're like me, well, reading the Bible can create plenty of questions. So check out the blog that we send out each week. And this week, there will be a list of some great resources to help you with questions that you might have. If you don't yet receive the weekly blog, which is simply a follow-up email to our messages each Sunday, then you can sign up for this again at www.thefoundry.life. And there are so many resources out there. Do your research. Don't just read the first thing that you come across on Google. Each week, we try to recommend good resources from people that we trust, and you'll see them in our weekly blogs. We drop resources as well on our social media channels too, so make sure that you are following at Foundry Witness. Let me just quickly recommend this book. It's called If I Could Ask Anything, and it's by a lady called Catherine Slattery. Now, it is aimed at children and is a great resource for parents with curious kids. But let me just say this, I would recommend this book for anyone of any age. It is so good at answering such a wide range of questions about life, about Jesus, about faith, about the church, and in a really clear way. I really strongly recommend this resource to you. The fifth and final thing is this. With your questions, as you've written them down, as you've taken them to God, as you've looked for helpful resources, the last recommendation is this. Pray for clarity. As you do all of the above, ask God to bring you clarity. clarity. Ask God to crowd out the noise that can often surround our questions in life. Sometimes it might not take you long to find the answers that you have been looking for. But one of the hardest things I've found as a follower of Jesus is knowing that we're not always going to find the answers to our questions. Sometimes it's going to require us to simply trust that God knows what he is doing. For years, I have wrestled with this question of why I have seen some people get healed. But then there have been things in my life that I haven't been healed of, or people close to me that haven't yet been healed, and it frustrates me. And I bring that question to God regularly, and I've talked about it with people close to me, and I've read up about healing. But in the end, I have had to ask God to bring his peace in the unknown. Maybe one day I will find out. But for now, I have to just keep trusting and believing that God heals. Our questions don't surprise God, and we won't be the only people asking them. Perhaps you are listening today and you have been a follower of Jesus for some time. But just like me, and just like the disciples that we read about earlier, you've fallen into that trap of thinking that you can't have questions and doubts as a Christian. Don't believe that lie. Maybe you're listening today and you are exploring what it means to be a Christian. Let me encourage you. We are a church where it is okay to be spiritually curious. We want to help you work through your questions. If you're listening today, and your biggest questions about life are around purpose and existence, I just want today to point you to Jesus. Today, you can choose to follow him. And I believe that you will begin to find answers to some of life's biggest questions as you look to Jesus. Thank you so much for joining us and listening along to this message today. Be blessed.